Hi, everyone. Welcome to TimingResearch.com Crowd Forecast News, episode number 192 for August 13th, 2018. We are broadcasting live on YouTube at 1 p.m. Eastern Time. But if you listen to podcasts, you can also catch the audio-only version of every episode on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, Podbean, or wherever else you listen to podcasts. Just search for Timing Research and subscribe there. Today, we will be discussing the 255th weekly report, which you should be seeing the PDF version on your screen right now while I'm talking. But you can also go to timingresearch.com to download the full PDF or read the blog post version there. I have Dave Landry back to moderate today, so I'm going to go ahead and turn it over to him.
Thank you, David Kosmetter, and thanks to Timing Research for having me back once again. In no particular order, I'm going to go through this. Let's go to you, Jim, first. Jim Kinney of sure. optionprofessor.com. I think everybody here is a veteran of the show, so you kind of know the routine, but for those of us who don't know, you tell us a little bit about yourself and tell us a little bit about optionprofessor.com.
Yeah, optionprofessor.com. I do provide the content for the DVDs, and basically it's an education firm on all the ins and outs of how the options work, using them for limited risk speculation, using them for cash flow or income purposes, and also using them for hedging purposes. And the more you know, the more uses and ways of trying to use the options can come into play. So Option Professor has been around for decades, and obviously we believe the DVDs have a lot of merit if you want to bring your education level up.
Cool. And I guess I'll be the first to say today, lots of moving parts in those options. So options education is obviously a good thing. Next up, we have Lance Ippolito from Alpha Shark. Lance, I don't think you were in Vegas a few years back when we got into trouble with those Alpha Shark guys, were you?
No. I heard stories, though.
Okay, yeah. Well, you know, what happens in Vegas is supposed to stay in Vegas, but evidently not. So we went to... We would shoot machine guns. We had a lot of fun. Anyway, for those of us who don't know you, tell us a little bit about your trading, yourself, whatever you want to tell us, and a little bit about AlphaShark.com.
Yeah, so at AlphaShark, we run a live trading room with about four moderators right now. I'm usually on from 2 to 4 p.m. Mostly right now, I've been really busy with earnings, and I've tried to branch to the millennial world of the popular video game website called Twitch. And what I've been doing on Twitch is actually trading live, trying to do it around that 2 to 3 p.m. in the afternoon. Trying to, you know, a lot of my poker pro friends broadcast on Twitch. So I've actually done that with trading, and it's pretty cool. I feel cool. I feel hip doing it like the video game kids, except I'm not making millions playing Fortnite. What I focus on trading is I prefer short dated options. I'm mostly an options trader right now, and I really like these weird, odd, unique stocks that most people have never heard of. Playing earnings too is definitely one of my favorite things to do. Like names like Mellencrot, Match.com, Under Armour, SodaStream, the Trade Desk was a huge winner the other day for earnings. Just the different stocks that a lot of people don't think of short term trading. I feel like they're unique. If you time it right and you get that volatility spike with a big move in the options, these options can go up 2 to 300% relatively quickly rather than trading a name like Facebook or Microsoft or Amazon. You know, I know when I trade those names, I'm not going to hit, you know, home run in the options market because Apple's not going to wake up tomorrow with a 10% move up on some kind of news. So that's kind of my strategy. It's not for everyone. I like the high risk, high reward, trading small as well. But, you know, every day is something fun and every day something's new for sure.
You know, the best way to trade those unique stocks?
What's that?
Unique up on them.
Yep, exactly.
Hey, quick question, Lance. On those earnings plays, are you doing something like a straddle, a strangle, or what are you, just curious, what are you doing on that?
Yeah, so when I had my big account before I bought a house and paid off.
Did you get married? Because that'll get rid of some troublesome cash.
No, well, I actually paid for my aunt's divorce attorney, which that was basically a down payment on the house right there. So what I did was I had my big account last year. And then in April, I took a 5K account. And actually today, I've got it up to about 15,000 over the course of, 4 months or so. So I have a cash account. Back when I had a large account, I could trade spreads for earnings. And that was, you know, selling bull put credit spreads, buying call spreads was a fantastic strategy, especially for reducing risk. But now since I have this small account and it's a cash account, I have to trade directional calls and puts. So I've really focused in on insider activity from websites like Open Insider or Inside Cal. Look what management's doing in the company. Look in the options market just to see if there's anything suspicious sticking out, and be very careful with what names I trade. You know, I don't trade Amazon or Google for earnings because they're not going to move directionally over the market maker's move. I prefer these names like Match.com. Where they can do a greater than expected move and they're not getting that coverage that, let's say, you know, gotcha, Microsoft is getting. So unique names combined with institutional order flow creates opportunity for a big gain.
And maybe I wasn't listening carefully enough. You said, is that a directional bet you're making?
Yeah, directional. Pretty much everything's calls and puts.
Okay, gotcha. Okay, well, we're waiting for Neil to show up. No telling where he is in the world. So maybe his internet went out or something. But in the meantime, for those of you who don't know me, my name's Dave Landry. From DaveLandry.com. Just try to keep it as short as possible. I believe you can only predict the short term when it comes to markets. I am a serious trend follower, but I also believe that you can stick around longer term. There's problems with short-term trading. There's problems with long-term trading. So I take a hybrid approach through my hybrid money management system. If you want to learn a little bit more about that, if you go to DaveLandry.com/CFN, I'll give you several videos. I'll give you a gift certificate so you can get all three of my books for free, and I'll see if I get that screen shared for you. There you go. DaveLandry.com/CFN. You'll learn a lot more about the methodology. I also do a weekly webinar. So, and those are free. So you can come to those and ask questions and participate. And again, I'm a trend follower. And the reason I'm a trend follower is the only way you can make money on a trade is to capture a trend. All right, Jim, let's go to you. First question today, as it normally is what direction do you think the S&P index will move from today's open to Friday's close? And then the second part of the question is, rate your confidence to your answer by estimating the probability that you have correctly predicted the move. And then we'll get into the whys in the next segment. So up or down and percent correct, Jim?
Well, I think the opening today was hit pretty hard with selling. And so I think that number up there at that 2850 on the S&P ballpark is going to be tough to get through this week. So I would say it more than likely will meander down. And I think that probability on that is about 60%.
Okay. And we'll come back to any more reasons you may have in just a second. It may have seemed out of context before we came on the air. We were picking on Lance because he looked like our resident millennial. Although I think Cosminer is pretty millennial too, but he's missing the beard. No, he's got the beard. He doesn't have the bandana.
Bandana.
Okay. That's what's missing. Okay. All right. Same bad question. You probably don't even know what that means. You whippersnapper?
You gotta love the tuna bandana, by the way. I feel like
tuna?
I'm fishing. Yeah, it's a tuna. I was supposed to go fishing this weekend, but anywho. Cool. I think actually we move, of course, you know, permable millennial stocks only go up. I think we move higher by the end of this week. I think today, again, short-term selling. Usually the third week of the month or options expiration. I mean, really, it's gone on for about 2 years now. Always seems to be bullish.
Okay. And you could flesh that out a little further in the next segment.
Will do.
So I'm going to go ahead and I'll explain these reasons. In fact, just to I'll go ahead and answer all three questions to make it a little bit easier. First of all, I think that we're going to continue to head higher, and there's nothing scientific about that. All I'm doing is, let me get my screen share here. I'll tell you what I'm doing here. Sorry about that. Let it all this up. Well, let me just answer the question. Then I'll get everything set up. I think we're head higher because I like to err on the side of the longer term trend. And I'm going to explain that out in a little bit more detail in a few minutes. So let's go back to Jim for now while I get those screens set up, the show flowing. And the question is, what developing events do you think, getting old here?
I'll give you a few reasons why, and I'll give you a few things that are coming up, okay?
Yeah, that's exactly what the question is.
A couple of reasons why. Last week, we got to ridiculously low levels for insurance or put options. The premiums were ridiculously low. So obviously, today wouldn't be the most optimum time to be doing the selling, because what you'd want to do is, you know, when the premiums are very, very, very low, obviously pick them them up, and then look for the market to make a turn. So obviously that's what we're seeing here on Friday and today is the turn coming off of the extremely low levels on the VIX and extremely low levels on the put premiums. That's the time to act when those things are there. So now you're after the fact a bit. I'm just saying that the flow of traffic is down, and I'm not one to just predict it's going to turn around out of the blue all the time. So again, we're up near 15 on the VIX. That's a level of, in my view, an equilibrium. So it is a rough racket to think it's going to fall a lot from here because we're back at 15 already, and there is a gap on the VIX between 11.5 and 12.5. So therefore, it could go back up, and that's why I would probably use a hedge on any negative positions I would have, just in case this week is going to be Johnny the Consumer week, because we got small business inventories, import-export prices tomorrow, but Wednesday is the big day for the consumer. Retail sales, looking for a small gain because of autos being lousy. Industrial production, business inventories, they seem to be not building because the consumer has been spending. Housing index and productivity, and Thursday housing starts, and Friday consumer sentiment. So this week's going to have a lot of the consumer in there, and there are some people who think the consumer is getting a little nervous with the stock prices, you know, kind of meandering. You know, if you took out most of the stocks, you know, a lot of them are not making 52-week highs. And so a lot of people's portfolios are not jumping through the roof. And they're nervous also hearing all this tariff talk and, you know, all the other stuff they keep hearing in the news is not making them more comfortable. If that lack of comfortability goes and rotates into these consumer numbers, then this stuff, you know, is going to need new, fresh news to break through that 2900 mark. And if it doesn't come, then all these people who have bet up, which is, seems to be the universe, they may take something off the table. Because I'm looking at rollovers in the S&P today, international, EEM. The transports look like they're rolling over a bit, Russell, Q's, and some sectors. You know, if you look at the financials, the industrials, the materials, they're all getting whacked. And so, you know, this might be a little bit of the dump before the rally. And that's kind of the way I'm thinking. I'm thinking August could be a little bit more of a dump. And then as we get into late September, October, November, maybe something radical is done before the midterm elections, which wouldn't surprise me because manipulation does happen, right? And so you maybe they'll resolve something or get something so the midterms look good and people are happy. So I just think it's a little early to get the party hats out, and they may even make you eat some humble pie before they let it go back up.
Okay, cool. Lots of thoughts going into that. Lance, same question.
I like the how the finish, some humble pie. that was really good. Yeah, what's really caught my attention is retail sales this week. You know, the retail sector, if you look at XRT, I believe it just hit a new 52-week high. But you look at some of these retail names, especially going into the year, you know, everyone thought the whole Amazon effect was going to crush retail stocks. But when you look at some of these small ones, and I absolutely have loved retail for the longest time, like Macy's, American Eagle, Lululemon, Restoration Hardware. I mean, these names have just had massive short squeezes going into the year. Am I a little cautious now? For sure. You know, I think that number is going to play a big role where the markets go. You know, if we start having, let's say, negative numbers going forward, I think the market could see a little bit of a dip. Going for the week, though, short term, here we are selling off on a Monday. International news, you know, emerging markets selling off. That's getting a lot of bad press headlines. Usually, again, what's tomorrow? Turnaround Tuesday. I think we start to move a little bit higher Tuesday and see if we can squeeze out this week to the green side. But also, too, you know, if you're long or long in the tooth or too long, like a lot of people are, you know, again, cheap protection is still relatively cheap for the short term. So there's no, you know, there's no problem running out, buying some protection just in case you wake up, the S&Ps are down 30 handles tomorrow and you're not in panic mode. It's always about risk management. So, you know, always look at each side of the scenario. You know, ask yourself, if I wake up tomorrow, the S&P's down 30 points, is it really going to ding me up that bad, or am I protected? So some insurance.
Okay, gotcha. I like to keep things simple when it comes to market timing. So as far as developing events, sense. I'm a price purist. This chart is a little dated. It's a week or two old, but it's not that far off. And what I have here, and I like to keep trend following real simple. I don't use any indicators, but occasionally will use a moving average. And one thing I've actually discovered, and it's really quite simple, is just the angle of a 50-week moving average, or what I call Dave light. And I have another indicator for that, and it's in Metastock. You guys want it. It's a frequent Metastock. But Dave light or daylight just means that the lows are greater than moving average. And it's pretty amazing how that will keep you on the right side of the market. But this indicator I have here is something really, really simple. It's just the percent away from the 250-week high. 250-day high. So what happens is if you're within that, let's say within 10% of that high, I like to err on the side of longer-term trends. So when you're making new highs, you can see this indicator is going to be really low. As long as you're at or near new highs, I just say, well, let's just give the market the benefit of the doubt. Now, obviously, in a big spill like this back here that we saw earlier this year, I will get stopped out of my individual positions, but I won't get super bearish. And what's kind of amazing, and always amazes me how such simple things could actually work. And if you go back to the bear market of 2000, you'll see that we rallied, or this indicator went up over 10%. And then that was the beginning of the bear market. And the same thing happened in 2007, 2008. So nothing magical about this, but it's just something simple that could help to keep you on the right side of the market. So we're not too far away. I think on Friday, we were 2% on the S&P 500 away from all-time highs. And I guess we're a little bit further away now. But I'm not going to get too excited just yet. It doesn't mean that I'm going to throw caution to the wind. I'm still going to honor my stops on any existing positions, obviously. All right, let's go back to you, Jim. Mm-hmm. And the question is, what do you think is best, trading one methodology or system all the time or trading multiple strategies that adapt to the market, and why?
Well, I think, having some foundation of what you're trying to see happen with regard or some reasoning is a good thing. So I think a good foundation is using the moving averages. They're based on price and time. They're not based on talking heads. And so moving averages don't lie. People lie. And so I like the idea of the moving averages. And cool. That's a good basis. And then, of course, you can try to work with overbought, oversold using the moving averages, which I have found numbers such as 30 to 50% to be fairly reasonable time to start looking at an overbought or oversold situation. And then maybe combine that with chart formations, like a high surrounded by lower highs, and you're in an overbought condition. If you wanted to do a trading situation, looking for a drop at that point. Conversely, if you have a low surrounded by some higher lows, and you want to use that point as a defendable point and look for it to snap back a little bit, that's not a bad situation. So what I try to do is I would try to look at the moving average as a foundation, and then I would try to use other indicators and other chart formations to give me an idea on how to trade against it. And then being proficient in the options, I would like to put some kind of a defensive move on any offensive move, because my feeling is if your offensive move cannot handle the cost of insurance, then maybe it's a pretty crappy offensive move. In other words,
interesting.
If you're going to play, don't play for a situation where there's not enough gain in it to even afford any kind of a hedge, because maybe it's just not worth it.
So getting back to the question, Jim, are you saying that you're mostly trading the same methodology, or are you kind of switching it up a little bit?
Oh, I would say I'm flexible on the methodology, but I have a foundation and I have setups and I have certain circumstances that I'd like to see before I will shoot. Because I don't think it's the amount of shots you take, it's the accuracy of your shots. So, I come from a sports background. I don't want a guy shooting 50 shots a game and hitting three. I'd rather have a guy, taking better shots and have a very higher percentage of scores.
Gotcha. That seems like Pareto principle always rears its ugly head, but it's probably the best thing out there. I'm not worried about accuracy so much. I just want to make money on, make money overall. And a lot of people seem to worry too much about accuracy. Lance, let's go to you. Same question. What do you think is best, trading one methodology or system all the time, or trading multiple strategies that adapt to the market?
I think you have to adapt. The reason why is I trade very short-term options. I love weeklies. I love front month. And 90% of people say that's a losing strategy, or, you know, that's unwise because you should give your position time and you'll lose a lot of money in weekly options. Again, I'm not one for accuracy. If I could hit, you know, if I could bat a 300, like in baseball, but on those trades, I make, you know, I at least double my money on one of those trades or triple my money. That's my goal. But at the same time, when it's summertime, like a couple months ago, here I am trading short-term options and there was no movement in the market. I mean, we were in an 8-point range in the S&P. There was, I mean, the weeklies weren't moving and you have that theta decay, especially when you're buying cheap out the money options, you know, just getting whacked. So here I am buying an option for 50 cents. Day later, it's at 10 cents, you know, just whacked, whacked, whacked. And I realized, hey, I can't trade these short-term options when we're not trending. It's not a trending market. Every day we're just flat or grinding. You're not going to make money in options, especially out the money options when there's no trend. So I had to adapt. I had to really downside my trading, especially in the short term. And if I wanted to get into a position, look literally 2 to 3 months out and say, you know, why am I in the position? Is it an earnings trade? Is it a trend following trade? Is it some kind of news trade? Is it a counter trend trade? Should I scale down my size? I feel like you have to adapt to the certain part, to the certain areas of the market. You know, if you're just running out buying calls every day and then the market's flat, or you have a day like today where you pop up and then you sell off, then you're sitting underwater. So adapting to what the market is doing, you know, being like that chameleon out there, I think everyone should at least try to do. You know, if you're stuck on your own ways, just sit back and wait to the, you know, the trades come to you, so to speak. Like right now, I'm not out there every day, or at least for the past couple weeks or so, running out and saying, oh man, I'm going to make this trade, this trade, this trade. You know, if I see something that sets up, I'll take it. But there's no, you know, I always say, what's your day-to-day cost of trading? You know, you may pay for a trading room or internet access or so-and-so news feed, but it's not like you're paying $100 a day to sit and trade. You know, there's no problem with sitting on your hands for a couple days and not putting any trades on.
Okay. Well, one of the complaints about the show is that there's not enough controversy. So I'm going to disagree with shifting methodologies, but, and here comes the lack of controversy. When I saw the question this morning and saw that we had option guys on here, I'm like, you know, they may disagree with me in just trading one specific methodology, because if you've got a short-term options type of strategy or strategies, I should say, I get it. Ironically, as I'm reading the question of the week this morning, I was literally uploading a video on just that, whether or not you should trade one system or one methodology or multiple systems. And let me go through this just really quick. I'm working on this learning management system, so I'm loading all these videos up and they're going on the back end of my website. And one of the problems I find is if you are trading multiple methodologies, you could end up in the church of what's happening now. And then just a quick story. Years ago, I was trading, and if I get stopped out of a position like right here, I had a friend that I was friendly with, we would talk on the phone, and I'd say, oh, I got stopped out of that. And then he would say, oh, no, I actually shorted that, and I covered because it was a reversion to the mean type of trade. And then the market would break out and follow through, and I'd say, well, I got stopped out on the short. And he's like, no, I took that trade because it was a breakout, and it followed through. And amazingly, when we get into a choppy situation like this, he was always long and short and not playing the breakout. So eventually, I realized that you can't be all things in all markets. And the problem with trying to do that is you'll end up chasing your own tail. So I call BS on someone who's a breakout trader when the market's breaking out, and who's a counter trend trader when the market is not breaking out or fails to break out. And the problem you end up with is, let's say you see the market's oscillating like this, you say, okay, well, I'm going to reversion to the mean trade. Well, what'll happen is the market will then break out. And so you lose money in the reversion to mean trade. And let's say you try to start trend following. Well, by the time you do all that, the market will start correcting again. And so I really think you could end up chasing your own tail. And these are just some of the slides that I had with that presentation. So ironically, it just kind of dovetails right in. So get good at one thing. Linda Rasky once said, all you need is one pattern to become successful. And I've got a couple of those patterns. If anybody's interested, if you sign up on that daveleonard.com/CFN, I'll give you a couple of those patterns and point you in the right direction. Or you can email me directly on that at dave@davelandry.com. But become successful with one thing, one simple thing, and then build upon it from there. If you're not successful with one simple thing, then you're not going to be successful with multiple things and trying to trade multiple methodologies and then multiple markets. I would much rather just sit on my hands, and since we're using all these baseball analogies, wait for my pitch, as opposed to trying to swing at everything. How's that? That's a pretty good sports analogy. I'm not a sports guy, but I tried. So
that's a good analogy. Yeah.
Yeah. Every now and then I go to the nosebleed section for the Saints. So all my rich friends gave up their better tickets. So I'm stuck in the nosebleed now. All right, Jim, let's go back to you. A couple things here. First of all, we have been doing a trade of the week. I guess it's been a couple of years now since we started that. So is there anything that you want to throw out there as a possible opportunity over, let's say, the next week or so, or longer, I suppose, for our viewers today?
Yeah, well, one thing that I would keep an eye on, because it's not a right today kind of thing, but Snap, I was reading, had a pretty big investment come in from the Saudi prince that was in jail over there for a while. Of course, he was in jail at the Riyadh Ritz Hotel. So all I can say is put me in jail in Saudi Arabia if that's where they're holding them up. It's a far cry from Rikers Island, I think.
Is that Alawi anyway, or whatever his name is?
Yep. So he's out there buying the hell out of tech. He bought some company that's Paris-based called Deezer. It's a music streaming company. But he also loaded the wagon pretty good here, $250 million into Snap. And so I thought that was kind of interesting. Snap, Facebook, and Twitter got whacked because they lost some users, and I guess when you lose some users, the traders hit you pretty hard in the head. And but they're stabilized now a little bit. I was looking at the 200-day and the 50-day average on Snap. It comes in 13 and 14 and a quarter, and the stock's just a shade under that in the 12s. And I just would think that if we can get this thing to trade above 15, and then you would use 12 and a half or so as a stop out point, it could be a situation where these guys, know something and feel pretty good about. I know I have a couple of sons in their teens, and they definitely, Snapchat and all that kind of stuff. And they're pretty sour on the Facebook thing, but they are interested in Instagram. So Facebook has Instagram. But, these things got hit pretty good because they lost some users. And then basically this Saudi prince putting all kinds of money into it, and it's 12 bucks, $13 in that area. That doesn't seem to be too much. And there could be something going on there. And another one that I saw that seemed to have a big volume burst was Vitamin Shoppe. Vitamin Shoppe, has huge short interest of about 19% of the stock. They're losing money, but maybe there's something going on there acquisition-wise. Who knows? It's certainly a little bit overbought from the moving average that, 7.5 and 5.5. But, there seems to be a lot of volume, a lot of activity in it, and the stock's, making some more move here today too. So those are two that I've kind of came onto the radar, and they're relatively inexpensive stocks price-wise in terms of cost.
Lance, are you a Snapchatter?
Well, I felt like I felt like I was just speaking right there. Vitamin Shoppe, Snap. I mean, I'm long Snap calls, so I'm here.
Pumping answer my the own question. Book. Are you good. A Snapchatter?
I would just say Salam Aleikum to you. That's all I would say. Salam Aleikum.
So it's crazy. I don't use Facebook. I don't use Instagram. I mean, really, what do I have to take pictures of except fish or my cat? I use Snapchat every day, and I probably use it more than actual text messaging because all the all the millennials, all the youngins, they all use Snapchat. It's like it's the new way of communication. If I meet, if I go out with friends, it's not, hey, what's your phone number? What's your Snapchat? So I've had to adapt, gray hair Lance over here on the side about a year ago. I got Snapchat. Now I feel cool. I thought earnings were actually not that bad. And the gentleman before spoke about the investment. Again, I think that's a possible huge short squeeze, really even over the 13 mark. But a couple of things I like here are the casino names. I know they've been beat down pretty hard. Wynn, MGM, Melco, the old Impel. And obviously China. We've had some negative news out of there for quite some time with a lot of the Chinese stocks getting whacked. But I'm actually looking for a move to the upside, and specifically MGM, Impel, and Wynn. We've seen heavy call buying in Wynn the past week or so. More players stepped into MGM today. I think it got mentioned on the halftime report. And even in Impel, we've seen some September Timber 25 calls getting bought up, you know, blocks of 5,000 contracts. So that's some pretty nice premium there. I'm actually a fan of the casinos here. I think if we get a rebound too in China and some of the global markets, you'll start seeing a little bit of flow into them and a little squeeze to the upside.
Cool. Yeah, if before the midterm elections, Trump goes into his, Jekyll and Hyde deal, and all of a sudden he best friends with China.
Look out.
Look out. The casinos would fly like birds. You know, all they'd have to say is, we've made a deal with China. And I think you see the casino stocks, go from this 200 on win all the way down to 150. And it could at least probably run back up towards 180 or something like that.
And say it right, Jim. It's China.
Anything can happen. I mean, you know, we go from enemies to friends overnight. So, I mean, you know, and if these midterm elections, he needs to juice them up with something, you know, and he wants the stock market to rally. You know, that's the number one thing really? In the world. Yeah, 400 million people in the U.S. And let's just get that stock market up and everyone will be happy. Well, you know, but anyway, that's his theory. And so basically, you know, you can't fight City Hall. So if he's going to do something dramatic before the midterms, with this tariff stuff, which people are getting a little tired of, these stocks might be of value. Huh?
Gotcha. I don't have anything in particular as far as a specific trade of the week. One thing I did notice that might be worth pointing out is S&P 500. You'll notice that we had about 3 days of pretty much flatsville in here. And one thing that I've observed over the years is when you get a compression and volatility like this, and usually I measure it with historical volatility, but I don't actually trade directly off of this. I know earlier I went on and on about how I'd like to keep things simple. But the thing is, this is something a little bit more advanced that I've noticed, and you option guys are probably better at it than me. But when you get this compression of volatility, you often get an expansion of volatility. And I think that's what we're seeing now. But here's the useful thing with it. Usually, or quite often, I should say, the first move is a false move. So I think, and this is me continuing to err on the side of the longer-term trend, I think what we're seeing now is a bit of a shakeout from that low volatility situation. And if we take out the close in here, this recent close, I think we could at least challenge the old highs. Now, I'm not suggesting you rush out and trade that, but err on the side of longer-term trend. I think there's the potential for a short-term pop higher just based on this little compression of volatility. Now, this wears off pretty quick. So if we get a few more days in here, the market just chops around, then that's no longer a valid signal. So I would look over the next few days for possible pop higher. Again, I don't recommend you make any trades off of that, but it's more so of just continuing to err on the side of the longer-term trend. Okay, Jim, let's go back to you. You have any closing thoughts, anything you want to talk about? You want to mention anything about Option Professor?
Well, I was just going to say, you know, when you're looking at that chart that you are there right now, you know, obviously on a day like today, if we roll over here some more pretty good, those call options are going to dry up like ice cubes in Palm Springs in the summer. So if you did want to position yourself with some kind of a move that, I mean, there is a lot of positivity out here. There's a lot of participation already going on. There's a lot of optimism going on. And, last week when we went up to those highs, I was wondering, because I didn't see it, did the RSI lag when we went up to that new high? And if it did, you know, that would be a little bit of a negative story. So, you know, an 8% correction in the stock market would take us down towards 2580, 2600, where I have long-term support, which has not been tested lately. And the way everybody seems to be long and the way everybody is very much thinking, you know, because that GDP number was a high number, you know, are they going to become a little more disappointed when they see that these numbers from Q3 may not be on pace? And if it starts slipping, you know, or if there was a news event that made people start slipping, could we have a more significant correction in August? And I think there could be. Having said that, and being a chicken, I would put some calls above just in case I'm wrong, because generally you are dead wrong or dead right in these things. And so having the other side hedged, you know, and you have limited risk on one side, you could be dead ass wrong. And if we go to 29, 29.50 or something like that, because happy days are here again, start playing on all the speakers, you know, you wouldn't have had to pay much for the hedge, and the hedge could actually be your moneymaker. So, you know, when you're at these higher points, potentially turning points to either a correction or to a blowout the highs, you know, sometimes it's not bad to price out the strangler straddle and see if it makes any sense. So I would say that chart is kind of interesting. interesting because some people say what gaps down goes down, and then others will say that that gap will be filled and they're going to get everybody leaning down. And then these numbers I'm talking about with the consumer later in the week, if they come out and surprise people to the upside, they caught you leaning just like they do sometimes the wrong way. Everyone of the who started selling has to cover. All the people that wanted to add to their winning position come in, and you could get a pretty good volatile move between now and the end of the month, one way or the other. And that's why the strangle and the straddle strategy is sometimes used. A lot of stuff to talk about with all this stuff, and I do invite people to contact me by email. You know, I do follow a lot of different markets. I've been doing it for a very long time, so I certainly don't know exactly what is going to happen tomorrow. But you know, if you want to share some ideas or me share with you, optionprofessor@gmail.com. If you shoot an email over, I'll be more than happy to communicate with you.
Okay, Jim. Sounds good. All right, Lance, any closing thoughts? Anything else you want to tell us about?
I'm writing an earnings special right now. The link is alphashark.com/earningsshark, where I have a 2-hour earnings course. I actually did it live last week, but it's on demand replay. I created an earnings indicator as well, where it has the market makers implied move for the up and down side, and then a trend following strategy with it. And I send out trade alerts as well. Everything's included in that package. Basically, my style, what I'm looking forward to, again, I'm just very busy with earnings, especially these retail earnings. Tapestry is one that definitely caught my attention as they report, I believe, before the market opens tomorrow. And I just follow the options market. That's it. You know, am I right every time? No, but I tend to side with the whales, the big dogs, rather than, you know, good old Lance. I'm not a PhD analyst. And I've seen very heavy put buying in TPR. Last quarter, the stock sold off very hard. When this name was Coach about a year or so ago, this name had one of the greatest insiders. They would come in ahead of earnings, buy calls. I think it happened two quarters in a row, and the stock popped like 12 and 14%. The calls went up 600 to 800%. I remember I was in some. Recently, though, TPR seen some heavy put buying. So I grabbed a few, looking for a big downside move, possibly below that 45 strike, and Tapestry earnings. And just, you know, that's the way I trade. It's not for everyone, but I trade small. And, you know, I sometimes too, I got lucky. I get lucky. I had some DY puts from last week. They went from 40 cents and I sold them up to $15 today. So that was,
wow.
That was probably the highest percentage trade I've ever had. It was weird because I kept seeing these DY puts at the scanner. They buy 700 lots, 800 lots at the time. And I'm like, why are they buying these? DY, the chart was very bullish at the time. You know, they're cheap options, 40 cents. So I bought a few. I said, well, you know, let me buy a few now. And then when they report earnings, I'll look at it again, see if it's worth holding. Or, you know, sometimes I'll just buy something small just to have it on my book so I don't forget about it. Obviously, DY is not a popular stock. I'm not going to, you know, put it on my charts every day to stare at it. I woke up this morning and see this, you know, huge P&L, thinking, I got a bad mark. I look, the stock's down $20 or so. And, you know, I look and, you know, here they are like 1360 by 15, you know, 90 or something. And I'm like, wow, this is the, I mean, the biggest.
Hey Lance, I just want to ask you a quick question on that. The volume is normally like 400,000 or 500,000 shares a day.
Right.
The volume today, 5.5 million shares.
Right. And
so,
also,
I mean, is this a company that's you know, got some ridiculously bad news?
Yeah, they cut guidance. I don't even know if they reported earnings because it's the Monday before the open. I think they just did a guidance. They slashed their guidance outlook. But these players, they started buying puts last week and the week prior, and that's when it caught my attention because I never see DY puts or DY the stock trade. You know, if I look at the daily option stats, I mean, I'd assume the name probably trades maybe 100 or a couple hundred options a day, if that.
Right.
So when someone's right. coming in buying 800, 700, 500,000, you know, and here they are spiking, you know, trading up to, you know, 4,000 or 5,000 put options out of nowhere a day, you know, it sticks out like a sore thumb. Obviously, you know, exactly. The stock was up 20%. Maybe they're, you know, they're long a book of stock and they're buying protection. So, you know, I'm not going to, you know, say to everyone, you know, they're always right. But, you know, at times like that, man, I mean, it was just, they did the same thing with Match.com to the upside, buying calls ahead of earnings. So, it's kind of my style. You could check me out at Alpha Shark, message me on Twitter, Lance Cipollito. But, you know, I always feel like, at least in my trading, every day there's an opportunity. You know, it's putting the pieces to the puzzle together. And I try to put the story together on certain names. You know, I've done this for years, and I kept track of certain companies in the options market that stick out. And that's what I try to do. And I look forward to it every day.
Lance, where are you located?
I'm in Tampa, Florida. I go to Sarasota quite often. I have some clients there. And then Boca recently. I've been driving over there a couple times a month or so to meet with some clients and trying to trade live with them for a little bit and just, you know, kind of go more of the basics with most people in the options market. You know, I think it's very attractive, the options market, rather than, you know, just buying and selling stocks, especially for the older people who, you know, aren't so quick to stock trading and scalping and stuff like that. A lot of them, you know, are interested in options and, you know, and want to risk small to potentially make big. And just, you know, I think it's innovative, it's fun. And I feel like there's more opportunity in the options market than playing just individual, you know, your Apple, Facebook, Amazon stocks all day long.
Gotcha. Reason I asked where you were is after that trade, I was to see if you could buy me lunch. So
maybe in Vegas, I'll buy you.
It looks like they're going to have a free dinner at the SEC with all those people buying puts right before.
Martha
Stewart's making dinner for them over there, I think, at the SEC.
That's the whole thing I was thinking about. Like, what the hell are they thinking? They don't think anybody's going to go in and see 800 lot on something that trades what? A few a day?
That's what I was like. I was like, you know, if I had more than a few, like if I had 100 of them, which I would never, you know, put that much capital to work ahead of an earnings event or for an earnings trade or so. But I mean, that is a crazy return. I mean, that is, and the options weren't even implying a big move. It's not like it was, you know, like a Snapchat where they juice up the premiums or something, implying a 20% move on earnings. I mean, there was a biotech drug, you know, with the drug approval where the options were just outrageous. There was, you know, the options were low. There was no news expected. It was crazy.
And these guys are in the construction business, which maybe one of their buildings collapsed and the GO knew that. The GC knew it was going
to
happen.
Made a little text to a friend or so. Say, hey, you know, why don't you? Yeah, it's definitely a nice morning over here.
Yeah.
Good for you.
Hey, Dave?
Yeah.
Dave? Yeah. Yeah, I just wanted to, I forgot to do something that if I could real quick, when I invited people to contact me at optionprofessor@gmail.com. I also have a weekly podcast that I'm doing. And when people email me, I do let them have the link so they can view it every single week and it's free of charge.
Cool. Well, just to wrap things up from my end, dave@davelander.com is my email. If you go to www.davelander.com/CFN, I'll send you several videos. I'll give you $100 gift certificate, which you can buy. It's reusable, so you can get all three of my books. Get to know me first. You don't have to spend any money to get to know me. Come to the weekly webinars. Check them out. Ask questions. Bring your favorite stock picks, and we'll take a look at them. I am a trend follower, though, so you might disagree if you're a counter trend player. Easy for me to say. I can't even say it. Anyway, I think that pretty much sums it up. Jim and Lance, this was a great show. It really was. I really enjoyed today's show. So thank you guys for coming. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go ahead and turn it over to Cosmitter, and he'll wrap everything up and give you one last shout out. All right, David, to you.
Thank
you.
All right. Thanks, guys. For everyone watching, be sure to subscribe to Timing Research on YouTube and your favorite podcast directory. You can also go to timingresearch.com to get access to all the past reports or show archives. Be sure to join us tomorrow at 4:30 p.m. Eastern Time for the 45th episode of Analyze Your Trade, where we take a look at your trade ideas and go over them. Also, be sure to join us next week for the Crowd Forecast News Show. Dave will be back to moderate. And Damon Pavlados was supposed to be on today. He had something come up. He'll probably be on next week. Also, Norm Hallett and Lee Harris will be on. So we might have a first time where there's three brand new or first time guests on a single show.
Cool.
So be sure to join us for that. And just want to thank my guests again for this week. Dave Landry of DaveLandry.com, Jim Kenny of OptionProfessor.com, and Lance Cipollito of AlphaShark.com. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you.
Thanks, David.
Thanks, everyone. Had fun.